Thanks once again for the kind invitation to preach the word of God on the Lord's Day evening. We bring greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Sri Lanka. And we are very grateful and thankful to the Banbury Evangelical Free Church for their partnership in the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to go fast because I have been commanded I should finish in time. So I should obey the commander. So, and during the Reformation period, 5S became very famous and foundational cardinal doctrines for the Protestant Church. You know, you all know 5S, no? You all know 5S. So I don't need it. So I have developed my 5E, just like 5S. I have developed my 5E. Before that, I would like to ask some questions. What is the meaning? Why do church or you exist in this world? What is the meaning of your existence? If someone is asking, why are you living in this world? Just to eat, then to die? What is the purpose of your life? What is the goal? Or what is the motivation of your life? What is the aim of your life? You know, we are in football season. What is the goal of your life? I don't know whether England won or not, I don't know. But anyway, so what is the goal of your life? Why do you exist in this world? Why did God create us? Yeah. Why did God create us? What is the purpose? Thank God, if you are all converted, praise God. If you are not converted, one of the important things is that God calls us to become His children by accepting Jesus, being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Because we evangelize because there is only one way to go to heaven. If there were many other ways, we would never evangelize. So if you are not, so my father used to ask, why are you people are trying to convert, you know, from other religion? You know, okay, everyone can worship their own God. Why are you Christian? Because I said, Christ is the only way to go to heaven. So he didn't like it. So, and when we read this passage, actually, Paul was explaining very clearly, the gospel is the only source for us to be saved. So, typological error, you know. So, you know, So, I have developed my own principle. When I was teaching my children during, you know, our family altar time when they were small, what are the four important prayers? I will ask them. I taught them and then I will ask them. Then Father, save the sinners, sanctify the saints, expand your kingdom and exalt your name. Of course, they have got many needs, chocolates and they, you know, children like chocolates, candies and all. But I would ask, what are the four important prayers? Then from that I developed this idea that, you know, why do I live in this world? Why do church, why do Banbury Evangelical Free Church live, exist in this world? What is the purpose of being a church of God in this area? Or what is the purpose of being a Christian in this world? Okay. So these are the things, you know, you can go to the other one, the next one. Number one, actually, we are here to evangelize. What was Jesus' last commandment? Go, preach the gospel, and make them disciples. So his last commandment should be our first concern. His last commandment should become our first concern. The church does not evangelize, proselytize. A Christian who does not evangelize, proselytize. It's like a, you know, cycling. If you stop, you will fall. If you keep on cycling, then you will go. So the evangelizing, we are here to evangelize the world. You know, nowadays, some religions are very active to evangelize the Europe. And they are doing it. And we are losing. We are losing the ground. But their evangelism is different, their evangelism is different. But they have a God from the Middle East. They have an agenda. But we have no agenda. But they have an agenda. that North America, Europe must be evangelized and become. So they have an agenda. What is our agenda? No agenda. We are tossed here and there. The next one. So this is, you know, the book, you know, we read the, you know, Romans 1, 15, 16, you know, Romans 2, 16, Romans 10, 15, you know, how shall they hear if they are not sent? So one of the chief aim or the chief goal of the church is that it should keep on evangelizing. Because every member should become active. They cannot be spectators. They must be participants. We have another formula called 1 into 1 into 1. What's the formula? 1 into 1 into 1. That means if you are 20 members, if you bring one soul to Christ per year, at the end of December 31st, how many people will you have? I'm sorry, I am weak in maths. We have 20. And you evangelize one person per one year, one person. At the end of December, how many people will have?
40.
Then the next year?
I
said I am weak in maths, no?
80,
160, 320. Remember, one person bringing another person, you know, to the church. And the Lord, I mean, salvation belongs to God. I am talking human point of view. If you bring one soul per year, every member, if you make a decision and pray about it, then you don't need to have mass evangelists. But we are unable to do that, even that. When did we share the gospel last? Some people think this is pastor's job, bishop's job, or the elder's job, or deacon. No. Every Christian, if you are a Christian, you should be bubbling. You will go and share the gospel. So, a person who does not win soul, is a kind of lazy Christian. How many souls have you won for Christ? I am talking human point of view. We are all Calvinists, you know. God saves sinners. But human point of view, how many people did I bring to the church? Sometimes I am unable to bring myself to the church, you know. Especially after the corona. How many people do we bring to the church by sharing the gospel? One person. Don't forget this formula. One into one into one. Church will naturally, automatically grow. But we are feeling very sorry. People are dead. We were dead in sin. Unfortunately, we are still dead in evangelism. Speak up. Speak up. Whether they are big or small, you know, while I was coming from Switzerland, I mean Zurich to Paris, there was a girl, a Roman Catholic girl, seated next to me. Thank God I had an opportunity. For 1 hour, I shared the gospel, in season or out of season. Grab the opportunity. Capture the opportunity. Then the church will naturally grow. Oh, brother, we don't have to know. If everyone is a participant, there should be no spectators in the church. In many Reformed churches, not all, but in many Reformed, a lot of people are spectators. They come and sit and sing and go. They come and sit and sing and go. No more winning souls for Christ. But we are very proud of Puritans and Reformed people, but we are unable to do even 1% of what they did during the revival period. So that's what we take it, we should take it as a challenge. I tell my children also, go and share the gospel in the school, in the working place. You know, don't tell it to others. My wife got converted. I mean, providentially, I didn't have any story. I mean, ulterior motive. She was my colleague, in a sense. Share the gospel, you know. Don't keep your mouth shut. Speak up. Next. Christian who does not evangelize, proselyze in the church, you know.
Yeah.
Next. So, 1 Corinthians 9:16-17, Paul said, you don't need to be proud of, you know, it is our duty. A soldier's duty is to protect the country. You cannot say, oh, I am protecting my country. No, no, it is your duty to share the gospel, to preach about Jesus Christ and crucified and risen and going to come and judge the world. It is our duty. So it's kind of do or die battle. Next. So we see. Then second one is the edifying. Second E is the edifying. You say, when the baby is born, what should baby do? It should grow. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, wholesome grow. When the Christians are born, you know, when the unconverted people are born again, become Christians, true Christians, born again Christians, then they need to grow, drinking the milk, the word of God, eating the meat, the word of God. Many Christians have stunted growth. You know, you should have seen Somalia babies, you know, Sudan, babies from Somalia, Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, those days, very, you know, thin, skeleton. They are born, but they are with skeleton. So many Christians, they are born again, but they are unable to grow. So one of the other major purpose of the church is that we have to edify each other, we have to sanctify each other, we have to challenge each other, we have to motivate each other to become Christ-like. Jesus said, go and make, not believer, make disciple. And how many people we have made them disciples? And who will tell, who will stand up and tell, I am his disciple, I am her disciple? Are there any people for us to tell like that? When we die and go to heaven, will there be at least 5 people or 2 people, they will stand up and say, oh, because of this sister, I became disciple. Oh, because of that brother, I became disciple. I was edified, I was sanctified, I was challenged, I was motivated. Human point of view, had she not come and helped me grow spiritually, I would have gone astray. So how many people, the mutual edification, that is very important. So many verses in the Bible, we need to follow it up. Some people are, you know, we sometimes criticize other Christians, you know, they are not doctrinally right, but they are good in evangelism. The problem with them is the edification, but they are good in evangelism. They go up, they street preaching, you know, door to door and all. They are good in evangelism. So, I always say, you know, how many eyes do we have? How many eyes do we have?
Two.
So, if this is evangelism, then this is edification. So, which eye you want? Some people are good in evangelism, they take care of this side, but they forget this side. Some people are good in this, maintaining this side, taking care of this side, but they forget this side. But we need both. Church should have. Jesus said, there are sheep from outside, I should bring them in. And also there are sheep within, so I should teach them. So the church should have the balance, you know. Some churches are good in evangelism, but people are unable to grow. But in some churches, they are very doctrinally sound. Oh, we are 1689, but only 4 people for 40 years. Only 4 people for 40 years, only 4 people. But they have got sound doctrine. But that, you know, evangelism. So anyway, so you can see the verses, some verses you can see. So in Acts 15:36, I like this, Paul and Peter, let us go and visit the people to whom we preach the gospel and they were converted, how they are doing. Are they growing in the Lord? Are they loving the Lord more and more? Are they growing in sanctification? Are they growing in holiness and righteousness? Are they becoming like Christ more and more? Let us go and see. The follow-up, discipleship is there. So these are all verses, sanctification verses, you can see. Building up each other, okay. How we edify the saints and servants of God, in addition to being a practical model. Sorry for the typo. Okay. So in addition, you know, first we should set, you know, we should play a role model in everything, in evangelism, edification and all. Be the practical role model. There are, some are good in teaching, bad in practical life. Some are very good in having a good sound doctrine, but their lifestyle is very, you know, very immoral and, you know, dishonest and all. But they have a good doctrine. They are not a role model at all. So this is how we are, you know, in our churches, we are edifying them. Regional, national, you know, all these things. Edify them, motivating them, encouraging them, you know, pulling them together, building them up. All these programs help us to be edified, sanctified, and to be transformed and reformed more and more. These are the programs help us. Okay. Then the third one is establishing the Bible-based New Testament churches. Okay, you see that evangelism leads to edification. And when you do evangelism and edification, you know, equally, and when you are on fire on both aspects, then there will be a church. Any ministry, any evangelism, any edification must end in a local church. That is God's program. Local church is God's program. He is the head of the church. Church belongs to Jesus Christ. So I cannot build my church. I had to build God's church. So we need to, I always tell, some people are good in evangelism. They go and help others. But they have no church concept. Jesus, what did Jesus say? Matthew 16:18. That was, you know, kind of the proof text of my motivational, a verse before I became a full-time minister. I will build my church, not organization, not institution. I will build my church. So this is, that is his church, must be built according to his pattern, according to his plan, according to his purpose. Today millions of churches have their own structure, different, you know, pattern. But we must build the churches, we must produce the churches, we must develop the churches based on the pattern, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, tabernacle, then the temple, New Testament, the church. You know, because why should we concerned about the church? These are the reason. I mean, we can talk on this subject for one day. Why should we take the local church very serious? Because Jesus took the church very seriously and he died for it. He loved it. He gave his life for it. So what God considers the most important, that should become most important in my life. Anyone disregards the local church life, disregards Jesus Christ and his plan and his purpose. He died for the church. You know. So these are the things, you know, the body of Christ. So that's why we should build the churches according to the pattern. Then we will be rewarded in heaven. Next one. And, you know, expanding the kingdom of the Father. Fourthly, when you evangelize, people are converted. Then you edify them. You teach them, you nurture them. They become disciples of Jesus Christ. Okay? Then you plant a Bible-based New Testament structured church. Okay? Then wherever the churches are planted and, you know, developed, they are the kingdom of God ruling and reign. Where the church is, there's the kingdom of God. If there is no church in that particular area, in a sense, there is no kingdom of God, in a sense. Because when you plant churches in every locality, so practically, in the people's heart, Jesus started ruling and reigning. They are the kingdom of God is in the midst of them. So without evangelizing, without edifying, without establishing Bible churches, Bible-based churches, or New Testament structured churches, we will not have Father's kingdom expanded. Oh, your kingdom come. How many times you pray, but you are not doing anything? Let your kingdom come. So what are we doing to bring the kingdom of God down to the earth, every nook and corner of the universe? So when you evangelize, when you edify, when you establish, you expand the kingdom of God.
So
without that, you cannot expand the kingdom of God. How are you going to expand the kingdom of God in China, in North Korea, or Vietnam, or Nigeria? We have to evangelize, we have to edify, we have to establish. Then there's the kingdom of God. Father, your kingdom come. We are praying very well, but we are doing nothing regarding that. No contribution from believers. No contribution from some churches. Someone said, we are great liars when we sing songs. We are great liars when we sing songs. No. If I want my Father's kingdom, kingdom of my Father, who loved and gave His Son for me to be expanded, to be extended, then I must evangelize. I must edify. If God calls me, then I must establish a Bible-based church. Then the kingdom of God will be expanded. Practically, we could see they are the kingdom of God. The hostile land became fertile. There are many areas, especially in persecuted areas, you can see the kingdom of God established there. And the fifth one, you know, these are all verse, Bible verses, you know, and exalt in the name of Christ, or exalt in the name of the Father. So when you evangelize, when you edify, when you develop leaders, so disciples, all comes under the edification, sanctification, when you establish Bible-based, I am stressing that, Bible-based, New Testament structured, Christ-pleasing, Christ-centered, Christ-preaching church, then you will expand the kingdom of God. Then in everything, the name of Christ will be exalted. In everything, He will have preeminence. When you do all these first, when you do first three, then the last two will be automatically followed. When you evangelize, when you edify, when you establish, kingdom of God expanded, the name of Christ will be exalted. Do you want Christ's name be exalted? Then you cannot keep quiet. Then you cannot keep quiet. You are praying, Lord's Prayer, no? Thy kingdom come. Father, thy name will be, you know, sanctified. You know, another day, it will be prayer. But what are we doing about that prayer in practical life? So these are the five solas, sorry, five E's. Okay, and this is for this, in my own strength, I can do nothing. In my flesh, I will do zero. But when the Comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, I can do anything. So the next 5+1 is, the next one is, these are the verses, you can see, Bible verses later, you know, exalt in the name of Christ, you know. We need the empowerment, the enablement of the Holy Spirit, who is our mission director. You know, without the power and the wisdom and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because charismatics or Pentecostals, they abuse, misuse the name of the Holy Spirit, we tend to go to the other extreme. We underestimate you. We don't preach the fullness of Christ. You know, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he was about to write, he was in trouble sometime. And yeah, but what he was trying to stress is, he saw a lot of reform churches in England became cool and, you know, humdrum and boring, no liveliness, no dime. I don't know about this, but if you go to some churches in Sri Lanka, you will have funeral service. You will have boring, humdrum, picketed concerning doctrine, but practically no life in the church, no enthusiasm. No biblical emotion. If someone really cries, hey, why is he crying? I am an intelligent man, I should not cry. Jesus wept. Did he weep? Did Jesus weep? Yes. Did Paul weep? Yes. When did you weep for the lost souls last time? Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude who were like, you know, flock without shepherd. He was moved with compassion. When was I moved last time when I saw the multitude in England or in Sri Lanka? When the Holy Spirit comes, he will do. I said, I always tell God in my personal prayer, Lord, I don't want many things. I just one thing, Lord, one thing. Why? Let me be filled with the Holy Spirit. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the mind of Christ. He knows what to do, what not to do. He will direct me. He'll be on the driver's seat. He's a mission director. People were afraid of, priests, Sadducees, Pharisees and all. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached the gospel with boldness, with courage. They didn't bother anyone in front of them. They did not bother. And Peter said, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, you kill Jesus. He was scared of a servant girl. When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he confronted the chief priest and said, you kill Jesus. What a transformation, okay? So these are the Bible verses. He gives wisdom, direction, courage, boldness, power. Ask God to give you boldness to share the gospel with each and everyone. I ask God because I am weak, Lord. Give me the courage, give me the strength to share the gospel with the neighbor who is seated next to me. I'm going to see a person who is from other religion, Lord. Please help me. Ask God, He will give you courage. You open your mouth and speak. When did you open your mouth last time to speak for Christ? When did we open our mouth last time to speak about Jesus Christ? Okay. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He will do that. And Holy Spirit comes, He will do that. So these are next. So these are the Bible verses, you know, concerning the Holy Spirit, how He can help us in evangelism. You know, I always say, Holy Spirit, you are our mission director. You know what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, and all. So help us. Help us in our mission field. Where to go, where not to go, how to go, how not to go, you know. So He's meaning, He'll help us. So be a man or woman with a vision and mission. Okay? We should have a purpose in our life. We should have the purpose of existence in this life. You know? Jesus came with a purpose. He came to save the sinner. He said, I wanted to finish certain things. Till then I am constrained. He was a man of God. God-man with a purpose. With a mission and vision. The Paul with a mission and vision. Acts 20. Here, I am going to Jerusalem. I don't bother being killed or murdered. I have one God, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a mission. What is the mission we have? What is the vision we have?
Preach Christ.
So Jesus came with a purpose. Paul was living with a purpose. Peter was living with a purpose. So, wherever you go, you should be a man with a vision and mission. You should have an agenda. Agenda for the glory of God. Agenda of evangelizing. Agenda of edifying. Agenda of planting church. I was in Europe. I was sharing with Pastor David Cook. Plenty of opportunity. I was not touring. My siblings are there. I was, visiting there. Okay. So be a man, Paul. His lifestyle, Thanks. So, brothers and sisters, what is the meaning of our life? What is the purpose of our existence in this world? What is the Westminster Confession? What is the deep end of man? To enjoy Him and glory. How can we glorify God? When you do these five things, you can glorify God. May God help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Murray. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us, we pray, that so often we are cold, we are reticent to share the gospel. We seek, when we do it, to do it in our own strength. Lord, help us, we pray, to go forth trusting in the power of your Holy Spirit, conscious of our own weakness, but confident in the power of God. And Lord, we do pray that you would stir us up to live for Christ and to make Christ known. And we pray that will be true of us as individuals and as a church together, that we may indeed see the kingdom of God advance in these days. Hear us and help us, we pray. We are conscious of our own weakness and inadequacy and sin. We pray you would take us and use us for your glory. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's finish by singing together Charles Wesley's great hymn, 509, and Can It Be That I Should Gain Interest in the Saviour's. now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.